It is great to think about our one of the mottos of our nation, God We Trust, on our bills and on our currency and our money. And we'd like for you to drop as many $100 bills in the offering plate, and we're going to check every one of them, make sure they're still on there. So I leave that as a challenge to each of you. But in God we trust. What a wonderful, wonderful slogan. Thank you to them, the Junior ROTC that was here to present the colors. And we'll be getting, Brother Dan is the one that set all that up and did the pre-service. And so just so your church knows, we'll be making a donation to the Junior ROTC program at Boone High School because they were so good to come over and bless us this morning. And so we'll give that with your thanks and the thanks from the church for them being part of our service today. And we always want to take care of those that come and take care of us, and we're so thankful for them and their path in life, and it's a joy to get to do that. And then speaking of gifts, there will be a place this evening for Brother Stephen and Miss Leslie Carrier over in the Family Life Center, the gym portion there. They've got it all set up ready for our fellowship afterwards. If you've never been a part of an ordination service, a commissioning service, I challenge you to be back at 6:30 this evening. It'll be a special time. We'll get to hear from Brother Stephen's grandpa. He'll be speaking for us tonight. I'll be speaking a little bit. We'll have other parts of the service. We'll be with different folks that have meant something to Brother Stephen. And we'll have a great time as we ordain him. We'll have that ordination council this afternoon. And so much going on, and I trust that you're here part of it at 6:30. Well, I struggle with what to preach this morning, whether to preach something in patriotic in reference to Veterans Day, but just seemed like the Lord brought me back to this. So if you were expecting that, please forgive me in that regard, just trying to follow the Lord. I'm going to preach from James chapter number 4 about our brevity of life. The Bible asks the question, what is your life, as you find your place in James chapter 4? As you're finding there, your spot in James 4, if you got your Bible with you this morning, I did hear this story about this older fellow that was really could hardly hear anything. His hearing was so bad that he had hearing aids, but they just were inferior, just wouldn't work, and wouldn't work as well as he needed to. And so he came back to his doctor, and the doctor said, we've got something brand new for you. I think it's going to help you remarkably. And so he got new hearing aids, and so he went back home, and sure enough, they restored his hearing 100%, and they did just exactly what the doctors had thought they would do. And he had a follow-up appointment in 3 weeks, and so he asked how they were doing. The doctor said, or the patient said, oh, doing great. Said, I hear well. You were exactly right. I hear everything that I'm supposed to. He said, wow, I bet your family's really excited about that. He said, oh, I haven't told them yet. He said, you've been home 3 weeks and you haven't told us. He said, no, not yet. And he said, what do you do? He said, oh, I just sit around and listen to all the conversations that they have about the old man, him being the old man. He said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I just sit around and listen to all the conversations for 3 weeks now. He said, really, what's that done for you? He said, well, I've changed my will 3 times. So be careful what you're saying. Somebody might listen in on you. You know, there's a danger about living a life, and we've had it all of our life, literally. There's a danger of having something for a long time, and that danger is to think that we'll always have it. You know, my mom went to heaven earlier this year, and so, of course, quite literally, there's never been a time when I didn't have her. And so that's a danger when you always have something, that you'll just assume that you always will have it. Somebody through their 20s and their 30s and their 40s, and they think, well, I've always had good health. I've always been able to go out and make extra money. If our family needed something, then I could just run out and take up a side job or do something and make it happen. But then sometime there in that magic age or wherever old age settles in, and it's a moving target. I'm not sure where it's at, but I know some of us have found it. And so it's a moving target, but when you get to a certain age, you're just not able to go out and make it happen. You can't take that weekend job. You can't take that job in the evenings to generate extra income for your family. And so some things happen to you. And again, there's a danger of always having something. You assume that you always will have it. And I believe that's what's given in this passage that we're going to look at today this is what's given to combat that attitude. Maybe you're 18 years old in here today and you think, well, I've got so much time. I'm going to go to college next year or the year after. I'm going to go, and then I'm going to, after I do that, I'm going to go into this field, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do the other. And well, we all should make plans, because if we don't plan, if somebody says if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. We should make plans. But we also ought to realize that those plans might never be realized because something could happen in all of us. And that thinking is what this passage of Scripture will combat this morning. You look at verse number 13 of James 4. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, not because I'm so looking on the negative side of things, but just brings me back to reality. And I preach this morning not to try to depress you, but to try to urge you to get involved in what God wants you to get involved with. Go to now, verse 13 of James 4. Ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Meaning this person is just living. They're just assuming they'll go into town. They'll live there for a year. Maybe they'll work there for a year. They'll be a traveling nurse, be a traveling this, do whatever. They'll buy and sell and get gain, just bringing some current affairs in there to this verse. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Verse 15 combats, it says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. And that in verse number 16, the real thought of that verse, your boastings, meaning that I'm going to do this. As I said, that 17-year-old that says, as soon as I get out of school, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Maybe somebody says, you know, it's time for us to start a family and we're going to have so many kids. And, you know, you have to wait and see how God's got to cooperate on that. But ye now rejoice in your boastings, meaning I'm going to do this and I'll do that. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, because of all these things, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. I want to preach for about the next 15 minutes, if you would let me, about this question that's asked in this passage, what is your life? Again, please, I'm not trying to depress you. If you're getting ready to graduate college this year, I want you to plan to go out and tackle everything that God's put in your heart to go after. I'm not trying to get us to sink back down in depression and say, oh, I guess we don't know what's going to happen. No, we don't. We got to charge it all and go forward with it just as if we knew what was going to happen. But in that same time, know that our plans might get changed. I want to ask and preach this message, what is your life? Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the great time that we've had this morning. Lord, I thank you right now. I take time right now to thank you for my dad and so many like him that answered the call when Vietnam was on the forefront of our nation and the world's burners. Thank you for him. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for all those that stood in here today. Thank you some that, Lord, just volunteered in peacetime, some in wartime, some in other, we were drafted and they answered the call. Lord, we're so thankful for that. Dear Lord, they took the real reality of the fact that their life might not be long enough to get them back home. And I believe they lived out this verse. I pray that you'd help us this morning as we dive into it, dear Lord. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Read a story of a man who opened his drawer up and hid in his wife's bedroom, took out this silk and lace shirt of some sort, and it was all wrapped up in tissue paper. He handed it to his sister-in-law, and he said, this will do. And as he handed it to his sister-in-law, she put it over on the bed, and he gave commentary on it. He said, we got that the first time we went to New York 8 or 9 years ago. And his wife had bought it, and she left it in that drawer, said, I'm saving it for a special occasion. And he said, I guess this is as special as it gets. And so they laid it over on the bed with all the other clothes that they were going to take to the funeral home. And as he laid on the bed and pushed the door shut, he said to his sister-in-law, don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Every day you're alive is a special occasion. And this sister-in-law said these words just echoed in her mind. They were in the Midwest because that's where she had flown home for her sister's funeral. Said all the way back to California, those words just echoed in my mind. Every day you're alive is a special occasion. And this lady gave commentary and said, my life was different. She said, I sat on our porch, our deck, there in California a lot more than I ever had before, just enjoying my family instead of worrying so much about the weeds. She said, I tried to squeeze the juice out of all life instead of just getting caught up in running from one event to another. She said this, someday and one of these days are losing grip on my vocabulary. Because she said, if I'm supposed to do something one of these days, then why not today? I want to just tear this passage apart and look at it as we see in verse number 13 and ask you how you're living your life. The Bible says, go to now. That phrase, go to now, is an old phrase that's used to engage people's attention. Would be like somebody stand up in front of a crowd, clapping their hands and say, hey, can I have your attention? If somebody's able to, they put their fingers in their mouth and make a loud, piercing whistle. That's trying to get somebody's attention. This phrase, go to now, brings that same effect in there, pay attention. And so this morning, I'd like to give you one thought, and that's this, pay attention, life is short. Pay attention, life is short. We all have plans to do this, that, and the other, but we don't know whether we have the ability, the long life, to get it done. You go down and they're getting less and less, but you go down to meters, parking meters, where you got to put coins in. Many of them you're able to use an app or use your card, but you put coins in there, and you're always wondering, am I putting enough coins to take care of my business that I'm in here at the courthouse or wherever you're going? Well, we are living that way in the same fashion that we don't know if we're putting enough coins or tokens in the meter to get us through where we're going as well. It's a funny thing. We buy insurance, we buy life insurance, we buy auto insurance, we buy all of these things, hoping that we'll never use them. I've got life insurance on me, but I'm hoping that I never use it because I'm going to plan to go up in the rapture. Buy auto insurance, and we hope we never use it because we want to drive safely. Wouldn't it makes sense that we'd buy some spiritual insurance, not just to say you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but wouldn't it be better to pay some premiums as far as living life the way that Jesus wants you to live? Wouldn't it be better to pay attention now? The Bible says, pay attention, life is short. God's saying to us, listen up. You may think that you have it all figured out, but you may not have it figured out. You may think that you're going to die of old age, but young age may creep in and take you long before you ever thought you'd go. Billy Graham, probably the most famous modern day preacher, was interviewed many times, but one of which he was asked, what's your greatest surprise about life? The answer that Billy Graham, before he died, gave was the brevity of it. The Bible talks about 70 by reason of strength, 80, and many of in our congregation have gone even past and beyond that. But regardless, we all have to admit that life is short. We know that, but we don't live that. And I say this morning, number one, pay attention because life is short. Look in verse number 15, though, number two. Remember, not only is life short, but remember we're in God's hands. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. If you'd have been a Christian 150 years ago living, you might very well have put a postscript at the end of some of your writings as you were giving correspondence back and forth with DV, a capital D and a capital V. And that would have stood for the Latin words Deo volente, which means God willing. Now, I don't believe that we have to live our life with adding statements at the end. Well, if God's wills will be there, but we ought to live our life always knowing that we're dependent upon the Lord to get to do anything that we do. You remember the old saying, the whimsical saying, well, good Lord willing, the creeks don't rise. I'll be at church Sunday, preacher. Reminds me of what one fellow said. This pastor was inviting him to church, and he said, well, I can't come Sunday. I got milk in the refrigerator. The preacher said, what's that got to do with anything? He said, nothing, but I figure one excuse is as good as another. Milk's in the refrigerator. I can't come. Good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. Well, there might be a little whimsical thought in that, but truly we ought to live that way. Now, again, I don't think we have to add that to the end of every phrase. I'll see you Tuesday, Lord willing. I'll see you Wednesday. I'll see you next month. I'll see you next year. But we ought to be in our being that we realize all the time that it may not be me that's there. Lord willing, I hope to be your pastor next year and the year after that, but I'm also looking for the rapture any day, but I also have buried enough people who are younger than me to know that it might not be me that pastors the church. I'm saying this morning not to depress us, not to get us in deep depression at all, but I'm trying to get us to remember that our life is in God's hands. You and I would do well to live our lives remembering that we're in the hands of God. Yes, make your plans, and yes, put your insurances in place, and yes, do all those things that so you might live a long, healthy life, but remember that our life is in the hands of God. I read a story of 1875. I got to take you back. D.L. Moody was one of the famed evangelists of our nation, and so he also went across the pond, as they call it, and preached in England and around over there as well. But the famed Moody Church in Chicago is named after him. D.L. Moody had preached to thousands and thousands of people. He got a young man by the name of Ira D. Sankey to eventually be his song leader and soloist, in his campaigns. 1875, Ira D. Sankey was on a steamship up in Philadelphia somewhere, or up in, around Delaware, and was riding through on that ship, and somebody recognized him from all of the playbills or the posters that had been used for these big campaigns. And it was said of them that Moody would preach and Sankey would sing, and they were a duo that would go around. Somebody said, "You're Ira D. Sankey, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Why don't you?" And then the whole crowd gathered. Back in the day, the biggest event that people would go to would be revival meetings, and they would pack out houses of thousands of people, these big meeting houses. And the crowd started saying, "Won't you sing something for us?" And he agreed. And they said, "Why don't you sing something that you've written?" He had written several songs. "And why don't you sing something you'd written?" And he denied to do that, but he said, "I'd rather sing one that was written by William Bradbury." And he sang the song, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." And again, there was nothing else going on. Everybody left their cell phone at home in 1875, so they weren't looking on their smartphone. And so they were listening to this little concert given in this large room of this ship. And he sang that song, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." One of the phrases said, "We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way." As he got finished, a fellow stood up and he said, "Did you serve in the Union Army?" He said, "Yes." "Were you enlisted or were you engaged in 1862? "Yes." And he went on down the list. He said, "Would you have been," and he named the place that he would have been serving. And Sankey said, "Yes." And then the man on the ship took over the story. He said, "A moonlit night," named the month, "of 1862, you sang that song on a hillside. And as I was listening to it, I was in the shadows. I was with the Confederate Army. I'd raised my weapon, and I had you in my sights. I was in the shadows. You clearly defined in the moonlight. I'd raised that to take your life that night." And he said, "But as I listened to it, I was enjoying the song, and I thought I can kill you after you're done as I can kill you now." He said, "I thought I'd let you finish the song and then I'd take your life." That's what he was there for. And he said, "But you got to that part where you said, 'Savior, befriend us, be the guardian of our way.' And I remembered my mom singing that same song." He said, "There was something that came over me, would not let me do what I had intended to do. My arms went limp. And I thought, if a powerful God could save you on that night, he must be some awesome God." My friend, you and I have to remember that our lives are in the hands of the Almighty God. It's time that we as a group, yea, we as individuals, start living our lives with the realization that we can't be solo agents out here doing whatever we want to do. We are living our lives at the mercy of the good God of heaven. Number one, pay attention. Go to now. Your life is short. Number two, remember you're in God's hands for what you ought to say. If the Lord will, we shall live. In verse number 17, I give you this last point. The Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, all those things with coming in, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Number three, let me give you this. We're responsible to live as we are led. We are responsible to live as the good Lord of heaven leads us. The Bible says if there's good things that you know you're supposed to do and you don't do them, it's not that it's a bad idea. The Bible goes much further than that and says if God goes to the trouble to put something on your heart, you understand nothing's trouble for God, but if God goes to the extent of putting something on your heart, some good deed, and you don't do it, it's not that it's not a good idea. God calls it sin. Now, we're very good at identifying sins of commission, meaning I commit something. If I go out there and somebody's got a car nicer than a mine, and I decide, well, why should they have it and I shouldn't? I'll take theirs. That's called theft. We understand the acts of commission. I did something that somebody told me, or the law told me not to. I committed it, so that's a sin of commission. But the Bible teaches and shows that there are also sins of omission. Fathers are supposed to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they omit that, they do not do that, they fail to do that, they neglect to do that, then the Bible calls that sin as well. Let me get more personal. If God puts a direct thought on your heart that you're supposed to do something for someone, meaning their Christmas is going to be less than yours, and God puts it on your heart to help out that family by getting gifts for them, but you shake it off and you say, well, they can do something else. If God has borne something in your heart and told you you ought to, then now you're accountable for that. So I give you that last point. We are responsible to live as we're led. Let me give you another illustration. A fellow named Walter was showing a guy named Arthur around in some property, and he said, I'm going to buy this center part and going to put some attractions here. I believe we're going to get people to come from everywhere to this attraction. He was trying to get Arthur to buy the surrounding lands. He said, I think if my attraction goes well, I believe it's going to be a gold mine. If you own the property around, you'd be in the money. Arthur was less impressed with Walter's idea, and he said, how can people come 25 miles out of town and come to this farmland? Because as he was showing him the land, there were some livestock on there, some old shacks and shanties. He said, I don't think this will ever happen, but it did. Walter was Walt Disney, was showing a fellow named Art Linkletter about that property around what would later become Disneyland. Art Linkletter missed out on that opportunity. It obviously didn't hurt him too bad. But that's a missed opportunity. But friend, I'm not talking to you about a missed financial opportunity. Somebody has the deal of a lifetime. Somebody has something that you can't miss. It's a sure thing. You know, you got to be careful of all those. I'm not talking about what to do with your money unless that's what God leads you to do. But I am talking about some missed opportunities. I believe in a crowd this size, we're going to ordain Brother Stephen tonight. We'll go to the mission field of Chile. Chances are there's some other people in this room that are supposed to go do something in missions. Maybe somebody's supposed to be a missionary on one of these yellow buses out here. We have several that sit every Sunday that don't get used. Maybe somebody's supposed to be a missionary to Kingsport or Bristol or other side of Johnson City. And when God puts something on your heart, we take it as if it's optional. God gives you a presentation. Hey, listen, here's what I want you. Here's something you can think about doing. But honestly, the Lord puts things on our heart to get us to sign up for the marching orders to go do what God has led us to do. And so I give you that last one that says we're responsible to live as we are led. The scriptures ask in that middle of that, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while. You understand you've only got a little time to live. Someone put it like this, I got to the end of life and I found the best things in life were not things at all. Some of us are living for things that will not amount to anything. You know me, I'm not against having stuff as long as stuff doesn't have us. I'm happy for all of us to have nice houses, and I'm happy for all of us to have boats and cars and four-wheelers and all that. There's nothing wrong with any of that as long as we realize that all of it came from the Lord, and if He ever wants us to give something back to Him, that we're the first one to sign it and say, God, take it. That's the way we live. What is your life? The Bible says it's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while. One of these days, if I don't go up in the rapture, they'll put a grave marker. It'll say, John Herdman. I hope it says a few other things in there about something that I've done or whatnot. But it'll start 1973. That's when I was born. And it'll have dash to something else. I can guarantee it won't be a long dash. It won't be a long span. You say, well, maybe you don't know. Maybe you'll live to be 100. Is that long? Maybe you'll live to be 105. Is that long? Not in the scope of eternity. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while. We've been watching some beautiful mornings. You see that fog lifting. Something a couple hours after you see it, it's nowhere to be found. It appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. This morning I'm challenging each of you to live your life in such a way that you'll be thankful to God that you followed His urgings, His leadings, and His directives. Go to now. Pay attention. Life is short. And what we're supposed to be involved with, if you've got a children at home, you need to once again start raising them. If you've got grandchildren that you're not spending time with, you need to start doing that. If you've got folks that you could give the gospel to and you haven't yet gotten a gospel tract and given it to them, say, hey, I've got something for you to read, let's get it done. Maybe, again, some of you are supposed to engage in missionary work and join Brother Carrier and other people that are going to take the gospel somewhere. Our life is short. We don't have much time. Let's live in the way that the good Lord has led us to live. And if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not certain that heaven is your eternal home. Oh, I've got plenty of time, John. Do you? Oh, I'm gonna do that religious stuff one of these days. I came today for a friend, but I'm going to get all that religion stuff later. Will you? I'm going to do that toward the end of my life. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you and I may both be at the end of our lives this week. If you're here and you're not sure that Jesus is your personal Savior, all you know about Him, I know you're here in church, you see the cross, you get the gist of it, but you don't know that Jesus is your personal Savior. You may be 17 years old and think you've got everything, all kinds of time, but my friend, I've had funerals for folks much younger than you. You're here today and you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior. Would you accept Him today for forgiveness of your sins and take Him as your own personal Savior so that you can be sure of heaven? Whatever your need is, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, you ought to say, if the Lord will. I'm going to do this tomorrow. You will, and I've got plans tomorrow as well. If the Lord will, I'll do those things. But if you're saying, I'm here today and I'm going to get saved, I'm going to get my life cleaned up and then I'm going to start coming all the time. Listen, folks, you've got it backwards. You don't get yourself all cleaned up and then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and He helps you get it all cleaned up. If the Lord will, we shall live. If the Lord doesn't will, then we won't. And do this or that. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for this good crowd that's listened. Lord, I thank you for their attention for these last 20 minutes. I pray that you would minister to every heart that's here. Listen, my friend, if I've met you for the first time this morning or I haven't met you yet, Don't let that distract you or prevent you from doing what the Lord wants you to do. If you're here today and you'd say, Brother John, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And you'd say, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But I want you to pray for me. I wouldn't pray by your name. I probably won't know it. I might not know it. But if I do, I won't. You'd say, Brother John, I need to be saved. Would you lift your hand up right now and just say, pray for me. Pray anonymously, but pray for me. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? You'd say, I need to be saved. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of Christians who, I'm going to pray for this one, but I think there's a lot of Christians who say, Brother John, preacher, I certainly need to be living a little different than I am. Oh, maybe you're not in sin. I don't mean that. But I certainly need to be counting the important things important and the not so important things not so important. You'd say, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand up right there where you are? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is not a trick. I'm not going to say, now you all come on down. This is just your pastor wanting to pray for you. Anybody else? You'd say, I need to prioritize some things differently. God bless you. Thank you. Whatever your need is, I pray that you wouldn't leave here before you do what the Lord leads you to do. Don't say you've got more time. I hope you do, but we don't know you do. Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If you're here this morning and you're one that doesn't know for sure you're saved, would you step out of your seat? There'll people on either side of you, if you need help, they'll move. Brother Daniel, our assistant pastor, is right in front of the pulpit that I preach from, would love to take a Bible and just show you how to be saved. Would you come? Maybe you need to come and give God some things at this altar. Maybe you need to eject some things from your life and start putting some things in your life. Maybe you've been running around chasing after the wrong things. Somebody said, be careful as you climb the ladder to success, that it's not leaned against the wrong building. You're chasing hard after stuff, but you may be chasing after the wrong things. Would you just do business with the Lord? We've got time. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, would you simply come out, step out and come? If you need somebody to pray with you, we would certainly provide that. If you just need to come pray by yourself, then this altar is open. Maybe make an altar out of your pew right there. Just pray right there where you stand. Say, Lord, I've had the wrong priorities. I'm caring for what doesn't matter and I'm leaving off what does. Would you make a holy vow to the Lord today? Say, Lord, with your help, I'm going to change that. Lord, with your help, I'm going to value what really matters. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to go to now. And remember that life is short. Opportunities are fleeting. But I'm going to remember that your leading is what I'm supposed to act on. As they play one more verse, then we'll be gone. We'll be done. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Let me give you a couple of words before you leave. So good to see each and every one of you. But if you're a guest with us for the first time or first time in a long time, If you don't mind, tear that side off the bulletin, take it to the guest services. It's the counter out there, and they'll have a gift for you just for being our guest. And Amy and I will send you a note of thanking you for coming to be our way today. But it's so good to see all of you. It's good to see Brother Doug Jarrett back there. God bless you. Wonderful to have him back in church. And then Ryland back here has got some classmates with him, and thank God for them. Some football players over at Boone. We're thankful for those young men. It was so wonderful to have the folks that were with the Junior ROTC this morning. And again, we'll be sending them our thanks as a church. And I want you to be praying as you go for Brother Bert Martin, who'll have surgery this Wednesday. And so keep him in your prayers. And then Miss Connie Fish, she'll be having surgery this Wednesday as well. And so we need you to be praying for these ones, that the Lord would work and bless in a very special way. Again, thank you for being here. I'm going to ask Brother Marty to come and close us in prayer, and I'll slip back to the lobby, and I'll be glad to greet you back there. If you're visiting with us for the first time, after you drop your card off, stop by and see me if you're able to, and we'll look forward to getting to meet you. Brother Marty, why don't you come?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and gather around your word and hear your word taught and preached, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to apply this to our lives, to help us to realize that every day is from you and that we don't know how many more we have. Lord, pray that you'll help us to live for you, help us to share your word and the gospel with those around us. Father, I pray that you'll just bless today, bless this evening services. May you get the honor and glory through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.